Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. It's strange how certain words and titles we've never heard of before become part of our conversation around the water cooler, such as the case with Boko Haram. Who knew? Let's talk with Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, about this situation and where he thinks it is taking us. Lincoln?
Yeah, well, I think it's taking us to widespread religious conflict around the world, and in this case, in Nigeria and the surrounding areas of Cameroon and Niger. Mm-hmm. It's not confined to just one country, but this is an Islamist group. Their formal title is the Congregation of the People of Tradition for Proselytism and Jihad. Sounds a little bit like the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith out of the Vatican,
yes,
but it's not. But this is a jihadist Islamic group in that area, and they're popping up all over the world. But this group are as visceral and as animistic in their approach as any of them. And haram means forbidden. And what they particularly believe is forbidden is Western influence, and in the case of the most recent news report, educating women forbidden. And they've done a lot. If anyone's been following this, they regularly kill Muslims and others. In fact, I think weren't they the group that attacked a shopping mall not long ago?
Yes, yes.
They're quite prepared to kill large numbers of people, Muslims and Christians and Westerners in general, to get their message of purity across, but they're making life for many people in that part of the world quite dangerous and untenable. And it was shocking for all of us to see the picture of the 276 girls that were dragged out of their beds at a boarding school in northern Nigeria, put into trucks, and trundled away. Well, they say they don't really know. I've looked at a map, and they were taken from the city of Abuja on day one, and by day three, they were many, many miles away. And by fourth day, it looks like they're in Chibok. But we've seen videos of the leader, Abu Bakr Shekour, is the best I can do on the translation, but a vicious-looking fellow looks at the camera and says, the Quran, my book says to sell them. I will sell them to slavery. And that's no idle boast, because slavery does exist in that area, and not just a modern form of it. It's the old style with the physical abuse and the detainment and the demeaning relationship, the literal chattel treated badly and confined to do the will of the person. Of course, Islamic beliefs is put over that. And one of the immediately worst things that's happened to these young women, many... In fact, I'm not sure it's not most of them were Christian young women. And immediately they're coerced into Islam. And just a day or two ago, I saw a video, which in its way is hopeful because it shows they're still alive and all together, or most of them together. But they showed a video of these young women. They're all in head-to-toe Islamic-type dress and very demure and looking somewhat chastened. And they're Muslims now. And some of them making statements about how they have come to Islam. Well, they're coerced statements.
Yes.
And on religious liberty, the first principle is there can be no coercion on religion. You should take it freely and practice it freely. Mm-hmm. So this group, their physical abuses are deplorable and their violence deplorable. But their principle of denying the free will of an individual is the greatest abuse.
How do we get here, Lincoln? How do we as human beings get to the point where we can round up girls, put them in a truck, carry them away, and sell them? How did we get there?
Very complicated, but I think it's probably not the answer our listeners or you would expect, but I see a great abrogation of responsibility by the colonial powers. They were concerned about controlling the resources of those countries, but they did little to ameliorate these sort of tensions, and there's several ways, but one of them is to give structure to the society, and it's still desperately poor. the animosities and the hierarchies and all the rest that existed with these indigenous religions, and of course the rather medieval form of Islam, are creating a really toxic brew for people there.
Now, I know you pretty well, Lincoln Steed, and I know that whenever you see something like this, your mind immediately goes to the path that was taken to get to this point. And then you look back at our society, at Western society, at modern society. Are there any parallels? This may seem strange to ask this, but there are any parallels between what we're doing as a culture in this country and what Boko Haram is doing in Nigeria?
Interesting you should ask, and you don't know, you're setting me up. Without giving names and particular places, I was talking to a lawyer from Canada who was in a discussion with some other lawyers relating to church-state issues and church schools. They made the comment that the school, because they were wanting a religious expression in it, the school is not there to service the young people. The young people are there to service the school's needs, because, in other words, the individual exists at the pleasure of the religious school, or the, in this case, the Catholic culture. And Catholicism in the Middle Ages played with that to the detriment of individual freedom.
That's true.
And I'm very afraid that it's coming back again. And of course, stresses in society, or in other words, a breakdown in society, where people are seeking extraordinary solutions, gives great opportunity for these ancient ideas to come up again. That's what's happened in Nigeria. These are not new ideas. They're the old ideas with a vengeance, with no charity and with violence in this case. And, you know, I'm not suggesting the Roman Catholic Church is violent now, but it's the same dynamic. So it's not impossible, even in the Christian West, even in the United States, to find ourselves facing this mindset. And we should take a warning from it. These are not just, I don't want to say anything demeaning, but, you know, these are not village dwellers on the far side of the moon. This is an echo of us, and in many ways, the cultures that they're existing in now are not so dissimilar to the very basic medieval culture, with uneducated people subject to extreme interpretations of religion, which is often used to keep them under control, abusively applied. And you know, the world is askance at what we're seeing here, as it should be. But we should take some lessons from it.
Now, the lessons we take, of course, should alter the way we do business, the way we live our lives, the way we form our culture. What are some of the steps you would recommend that we take, seeing this and seeing the problem? What are some of the steps we need to take as Christians and as a nation to stop this, even from coming anywhere near this kind of problem in this country?
Well, let me start it on a different tack. I'm not in favor of Boko Haram. I mean, they're a pernicious group. But some of their unease is well-deserved. You know, not everything the West projects is stabilizing for a culture, and the immorality and the pursuit of money at the expense of the individual. And Nigeria is an oil-rich country that still keeps its citizens in deep poverty. It's capitalism writ large. And we need to be careful of that. And here in the United States, I support the fact that if the United States legislatively supports certain rights, particularly, say, gay rights, we have to respect that. We can't deny that law. But sociologically, we should understand that they're playing with fire. And I think, for example, that the United States now has stated from the State Department at that level that they will be demanding of other countries that they grant full gay rights and marriage rights for gays and so on. Well, that you know, there's a certain secular logic for that, but that's like pouring fire on certain areas, and it may even be like pouring gasoline on our own society. It's very corrosive and inflammatory for certain religious communities, even if the individual will accept it. I'm not saying that religious people should deny the call in the case of Christianity to charity toward other people. But it will be an incredible social reminder that here the state is at odds with their faith understandings. And that is destabilizing.
It sounds to me like we did a program just recently on how a church can lose its vision it sounds like we as a nation are losing our vision, that some of the things that our forefathers established, be them biblical standards or not, but they established a certain vision for this country and for its growth. And we're losing that vision as well, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And you know, it's not necessarily anyone's calculated plan to throw that vision away, but the complications of modernization, of the decentralization of some of these ideas that comes from a large population, disparate geographical areas and so on. But the net effect is, yes, people are not clear what it means, say, to be a Christian, what it means to be a Protestant, perhaps what it means even to be an American. You know, to be an American is not, you know, wave a flag and say, get out if you don't like it. There's something more idealistic that used to go into that, and it was the sense that this was a place of refuge. It was the this was the place of granting to others what you expect for yourself, a free life without trouble, and so on. I think a lot of that is drifting away.
Well, Lincoln, I know that Liberty Magazine is very active in getting the message out about this. What it sounds like to me is that we not only don't know about what it means to be free, what it means to be an American, what it means to be have religious liberty, we don't know what it's like to love people. And God said for us to love one another, the new commandment, the big commandment, the big kahuna that he said to us, here's what you need to do, love one another. We don't seem to know how to love one another. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, although the Hawaiian reference, I'm not sure about.
Yes, anyway, the big message here, the big message
no, it is
love
true.
Another. Yes.
The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself.
All right, and if we would do that, if we would start doing that, it makes a big difference, because what is love? And 1 Corinthians 13 certainly outlines what love is, and there's all kinds of beauty there.
With that attitude, nobody's going to go around kidnapping young girls, threatening them with bodily harm and a forced marriage and forced religion change. We can certainly decry what we're seeing in Nigeria with Boko Haram.
Well, believe it or not, the Beatles were right. All you need is love, and that has to be a Christian, God-centered, God-created love, and that's really all we need, because everything else falls into place, as you say, if we would just simply do that. LibertyMagazine.org is the website for you, listener, to visit for more information on this and other topics, as well as listening to these programs. They're all there for your pleasure and for you to download and share with neighbors and friends. Maybe even your group at church can listen to some of these programs and have discussions, because I'm sure that after you hear Lincoln talk about what's on his mind, you may want to say, well, let me put my two cents in there, too. You can do that as well at LibertyMagazine.org. You can read his blogs and leave comments, a very active place for you to enjoy. LibertyMagazine.org. Lincoln Steed, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
And until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.